But it gets really interesting when you have the non-stock organizations, the other EOs involved in your structure. And in our world, we have a lot of cooperating entities. And particularly in large charitable ecosystems, I think when you've got multiple C3s running around, funds can flow, people can flow, people can just like sort of be all over the place, and it really doesn't matter so much. In employment tax world, I think the main goal of the tax person in the employment tax side of the world is just to get the right amount of employment tax paid. And I've seen both on the for-profit side and the not-for-profit side is, you know, who they're kind of a little bit mushy around the edges as to which employer is actually doing the employing. As long as everybody gets counted and all the employment taxes get paid, the IRS hasn't much cared in the past. On the EO side of the world, it hasn't really mattered for, you know, profit and loss type purposes where exactly the expense was in the whole system. 4960 kind of changes that.
And this is really what's, you know, for me, what I find is, you know, the scary part, the administratively unfriendly part is these related organizations. And if you have a healthcare element to your institution, I think it's particularly prevalent because you may find, like I do, that you have these supporting organizations that really amount to entities to handle billing or handle administration, faculty practice groups, and there's always some sort of, I don't know, what's the word? Kind of, you know, nepotism. I don't want to use the word nepotism, but some sort of, you know, inbreeding between the boards of these hospitals and these healthcare foundations.
Coordination. There's coordination among the boards.
Look at you being all positive. I like that. You know, so you have all this interrelatedness, and you know, some of these organizations you may not even know they exist. I mean, you know, every once in a while, I want to get someone from the OGC who's going to call me, or someone from, you know, the chancellor of our healthcare organization will say, you know, we want to do this with our other organization, and I'll say, our other what? And they'll say, yeah, the other organization that we got a, you know, we got an EIN for the other year. And I was like, we did? And they'll send me PDFs. And, you know, and some of them will be, you know, you might think, okay, there's another organization. There's another report. There's another 990 out there that you can look at. And that's not always the case. We have about 60 or 70, what we call them, dummy EINs that the IRS just gave us, basically for Medicare and Medicaid billing purposes. So that's about 80 different, theoretically, kind of little, almost 4-H supporting organizations. But also, when I first started, someone sent me this IRS determination letter for an entity we really kind of really have not used. It's kind of been basically vacant. But I get, basically, someone put in a 1023, and they got back a letter, and the top of your determination letter, where it usually says, you know, 990, 990EZ, 990T, said not applicable. There's no return for this organization whatsoever. The IRS isn't looking for any sort of return or any sort of reporting for this organization. The only way I'm going to know what's going on with this organization is because either I know about it and I ask, or someone affirmatively tells me, or someone makes the mistake of telling me about it.
So you need to look out. One of the first and major parts of doing 4960 is figuring out who your related organizations are. And the tricky part is these non-stocks. So what are you looking for? You're looking for another non-stock organization where more than 50% of the directors or trustees of the applicable tax-exempt organization, the ATEO, or that non-stock organization are either representatives, and that's defined in the regs as trustees, directors, agents, or employees, or they're directly or indirectly controlled by the other entity. So relatedness goes both ways. If you are controlled by the other entity, or if you control. Now, with most large universities, you're not going to have some other entity controlling half of your board. So what you're really looking for is ones that you control. And so it's this board test, looking at the board and looking at whether or not you have the control over the individuals, which is interpreted to be you can remove them and replace them either at intervals or at will.